There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
This is...
Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Mass.
The whole team suck.
Felger and Mass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
All right, as promised, more on the Palace Q. And we know it's coup d'etat, but Matt in Framingham coined it the Palace Q. And thus it will forever be the Palace Q. New book coming out by Mark Leibovich, the New York Times writer. I forget what it's called. But basically, ostensibly, he started out the book wanting to follow Brady around and write a Brady book, but it became an NFL book. And if you're asking me, I bet he wanted to do something on Deflategate. And probably got in there and found out, oh, they were actually doing it. Sort of like these guys that wrote the book here, Wedge and Sherman.
Yeah.
You know, I've talked to those guys. I talked to Wedge on the old FC the other day. You know, do you think the Pats were doing it? Yeah, there was some ball tampering going on there, but the punishment was too much and blah, blah, blah. So I think I'm just guessing. Because, we've a lot of the Patriots toadies were expecting the tell-all book that would expose the NFL on Deflategate, and no one's written it because there's nothing to expose you were doing it. And I wonder if these guys set out to write this book to do that and find out that, oh, they were doing it. And so they then sort of write about something else. Like the
season of redemption.
Yeah, so now it became the season of redemption versus exposing all the stuff in Deflategate. They couldn't expose it because there was nothing exposed because the Patriots were doing it. And I wonder if Leibovich had the same experience. I don't know, but his stuff sounds fascinating. Sounds awesome. So anyway, I'll just pick it up here. And this is, I think, from the Tommy Curran had a great review of it over the weekend.
Big Game is the name of the book.
Big Game. Thank you. And this is from Boston.com, I believe. According to Leibovich, Rob Gronkowski has told numerous people that he's sick of going to work in such a dreary monolith. And again, that's the author's words, not Gronk's.
Definitely not Gronk's.
Because Gronk is monosyllabic. He does not, dreary monolith. Again, author's words, not Gronk's. But more explosive is the suggestion that Tom Brady would not have minded being released by the Patriots after nearly two decades with the team. Quote, they can do whatever they want, Brady told Leibovich this past April. Leibovich, who says that he stayed in close touch with the people in the quarterback circle while writing the book, not the least of which was Tom Brady Sr., who was quoted often. He writes that it was, quote, pretty clear that things were not great between they and Brady right then, they being the team or Belichick. In the book, he writes that Brady has become fed up himself with the Belichick culture and has told friends, teammates, and relatives that he has earned more deference and gratitude than what he gets from the Patriots coach. So again, that's probably the key sentence right there. That Brady has become fed up himself with the Belichick culture and has told friends, teammates, and relatives that he has earned more deference and gratitude than what he gets from the Patriots coach. An additional source of friction is the arrangement between the team and Brady's personal body coach, Alex Guerrero, which remains unresolved. Although maybe this weekend we saw some resolution to it as Guerrero traveled with the team but was not on the sidelines. Anyway, Leibovich writes that my sense is, and it's informed by talking to people close to him, that it wouldn't kill Brady if the Patriots were to release him into free agency, allowing him to control his next move. Of course, that hasn't happened yet, and the Patriots recently restructured Brady's contract to include more incentive bonuses over the next 2 years. Do you have any thoughts on that?
So, look, I mean, it was impactful when I read it, but I'm not totally shocked. I mean, so again, it's consistent with what we've heard, and also the idea of being released so I can be in control.
Of course, who wouldn't want that?
I was just going to say that. Who wouldn't want that? Like, if, yeah, let me pick where I want to go. I get to choose, no question about it.
Yeah, well, I find that aggravating in that. So when was that said? Are we sure
April.
That was April of 2018 or April of 2017? Because if it's 2017 and Garoppolo's still here, I can understand it because it feels like, why is he still here? I thought he was going to be traded. We're going into the draft. He's still here. It feels like he now just doesn't have him breathing down his neck. It's all a matter of time before Bill chooses him over
so
Brady.
But if this is this year?
He said, hold on, Brady told Leibovich this past April.
So if this, then this aggravates the hell out of me because he's gone. You don't have a guy breathing down your neck anymore. They're committed to you. You want to be gone now just because you have this thing going on with Bill? Like, get over it or figure it out. Like, as much as I'm a Brady Bobo, like, that pissed me off to read.
Oh, yeah, no, but Brady says I sound like a broken record. I've answered these questions a million times. Oh, see, this is why, Tom. This is why we keep asking you the question. Because whether it's in this book excerpt, whether it's with Oprah, whether it's with Jim Gray, there are all these allusions to this recent offseason where you expressed displeasure at being in the Belichick operation. Okay, so this is why. This is why you keep getting asked about it. So, like, I see that and say he's still pissed off. He's not happy.
I mean, Brady's quoted. It's not like this is a friend, a source. This is quote-unquote from Tom Brady to Mark Leibovich. They can do whatever they want. And I don't know, again, it's just an excerpt, so I don't know what the context is or what's written before or after it, but the whole tonality there is, yeah, I don't care if they release me. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I get to pick who I play for. I'm fine.
So, there's that. And what's fascinating here is that the owners, and this isn't just a Patriots book, it's apparently a lot on the Patriots, but a lot on the league as well, that the owners agree to sit with Mark Leibovich, but they have their PR guys. So Kraft sits with Leibovich and talks to Leibovich, and Stacey James, the PR director, is down there. And at one point, Kraft calls Boston and says it's sort of like a little village compared to New York. And Stacey, for some reason, says, Robert, you don't want to say that. That's disparaging to Boston, and you're probably not going to want to say that or be on the record as saying that. And so they asked Leibovich. And this is when Leibovich was writing a New York Times magazine article. Okay, it was for his magazine stuff. And they asked Leibovich to keep it out, and he did. But Leibovich never promised that he wouldn't write it in a book. And so he writes it in a book. So he has the whole exchange where Robert says Boston's like a village compared to New York. Stacey says, Robert, you shouldn't say that. And Robert says, can we take that off the record? And Leibovich says, okay. And then he writes it. He does the same thing with Jerry Jones on something more serious. And why is it escaping me now? What was the Jerry Jones? Oh,
here it is. So Jones hems and haws. He'd been drinking. He was asked if he'd rather have another Super Bowl ring or trade his spot in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And Jones had been drinking and said, you know what? No, I wouldn't trade a ring for my name coming out of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He'd rather be the big guy in the Hall of Fame than his team win a Super Bowl.
And again, Rich Dalrymple or the PR guy down there says, Jerry, you know, Mark, we have to take that off the record. We can't have him. Mark says, okay, fine for the magazine article. But he puts it in the book. Oh, which is just so embarrassing. And it's like, just the having to walk back Boston as a village is just so, it's like, guys, take the stick out of your behinds. Would you please just lighten up? I mean, no, like, so hypersensitive to the how things are portrayed or said. And I hate to break it to you. I don't think I could ever live in New York. I've lived in Boston 30 years. I love it here. But every time I come back to Boston from New York City, I feel the exact same way. I'm like, this is a cute little New England town compared to where I was just at. Don't you feel the same way?
Every single time.
Every single time I drive on the airport down Sorrel Drive, I'm like, this is a cute little New England village. It's a quaint little Vermont village compared to the cesspool nonsense I was just in for 3 or 4 days. It's like, it's not that big of a dig. You go anywhere from New York, you feel like you're in a little town. But they're like so sensitive to it that we got to walk that back. And then Leibovich just burns them. Just, well, I never said I wouldn't write it for a book. Like, oh, God.
So here's my one question. And I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit. Like, I'm not shocked that they asked for that to be taken out.
I am.
If you were trying to build a soccer stadium in the city, would you want city officials reading it?
I guess not, but
I'm just asking.
No, it's fair. It's fair.
As I said, I'm playing devil's advocate.
No, that's a good point.
I'm not, so the last thing you want to do is insult public officials who've got calling their town a village.
I just think we've all experienced it. Anyone who's gone to New York
and then
come home, you're like, it's a cute little town compared to where
it
just was.
I'm not insulted by it. It's true.
How about this one? This is for you, Matt. Leibovich says he personally heard two other NFL owners imitate Kraft's slow Boston accented speech delivery
And that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell has apparently taken on Kraft's cadence when quoting the Patriots owner. So, like some wise guy on a talk show, when the NFL owners are talking about Kraft or Goodell's talking about Kraft, they mimic his voice.
Today, we are all Patriots.
So Roger's talking to the other owners. He's like, yeah, you wouldn't believe what Robert rolled up on me and said, hey, Roger, we should really, like, I can't even do the voice.
Unequivocally, we should pray for a lockout.
Like, that's a tough one. I mean, it's going to be hard for Leibovich to ever write another thing about these guys. Like, how could you ever trust them? Like, he's spilling this stuff? This is all just catty nonsense, but it is sort of entertaining. Go ahead, Mass. Come on.
We have here the greatest coach in the history of football.
This is the other owners
Jonathan.
Doing this.
So apparently, too, so the Ringer has a nice write-up on this book, which I can't wait for. And there's a lot of this, like, there's a lot of upset PR flax for these teams.
Oh, my God.
Arthur Blank is another one. He probably lost his mind about the 283 diamonds in the Patriots' last Super Bowl ring. And the PR people for the Falcons were like, yeah, don't put that in there. He's like, yeah, no, screw, I'm writing about this. That's one of them. And then the whole thing is, it is just brutal on Roger Goodell, and what a boob, a humorless boob he comes off.
There's an awful lot of rhetoric, but I don't see anybody changing their minds.
So there's that.
So I will accept the penalty reluctantly.
Okay, so there's that. When does the book come out? When can I get one?
I think a couple of weeks. Let me just find out for sure.
So hopefully we can get a little advanced copy action on that one. And give a little bit more pub. So there's that. And then Brady is asked today in his EEI interview about Guerrero making the trip, and he hangs up on him. So we'll give you a reaction to that coming up right after these words. Don't go anywhere.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Tom Brady's trainer, Alex Guerrero, banned from the team plane a year ago. Well, is back on the team plane. Let's see, in the last year, Tom Brady said, Jimmy Garoppolo, I want him out of town. They trade him. Tom Brady said, OTAs, that's for everybody else. I'm going to skip them. Alex Guerrero, we're going to set a precedent. I get my guy in the plane. Win, win, win. Folks, this is sports in 2018. Tom Brady should get all of those. Tom Brady has earned the right to special treatment. Bill Belichick's figured it out because Bill Belichick's really smart. Bill Belichick let him skip OTAs, didn't make a big deal out of it. Bill Belichick let him put Alex Guerrero right back on the plane and has not made a big deal out of it because Bill Belichick's smart.
Colin Coward, do we agree with all that? Do we agree that Brady won and that Bill let it happen because he's smart?
No, I don't. I don't think Brady totally won. I don't know exactly what you guys said on this topic at the end of last week.
Brady won. Small W. He didn't get everything that he wanted. But I don't think it's that because Bill said, oh, no, this is the smart thing to do. I think Bill was told to do it. I think Robert adjudicated a compromise between all these guys.
Yeah, see, I don't think Brady got what he wanted in the contract. So, which is why I think Bill got something out of this. I don't think it's a landslide for Brady. Maybe it is a small W. Maybe that's a good way to put it. But I look at it and I say, there was a trade there. You know, fine, Tom, you can get Guerrero back. But you're not going to get everything you want in the contract. That's the deal. To me, that was bartered. And so, fine, which is why Brady's not upset about the incentives. Because at the end of the day, he doesn't really care about the money. It's more about Guerrero.
I thought he did. I thought he would care more about the money. I think he cares about the money. I think he wants a bigger contract, but he wasn't willing to fight for it. And it's clear, Maz. I think when you say that he was willing to put Guerrero over the money, that's the way it looks. I mean, it sure does. But maybe that's all he was going to get, you know, anyway. The team would relent on the trainer, but not on the money. And these NFL owners seem willing to trade away everything except the money. The money's always last. So, I mean, that's certainly how it's shaken out. But I don't think it's that Bill had this epiphany. Oh, I'm going to be smart and give him what he wants. I think it was, you know, I think they all had to hammer it out.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit much from Coward. Like, you know, I think it's important to Brady. But, you know, and so there was a better perspective of this from Gasper over the weekend when he said, how much of a win is it for Brady when this perk already existed? It got taken away and I just give it to you back. Like, does that really feel like a win?
No, exactly. This is the NFL owners at work. I mean, they've done this with the whole sport, and this last CBA,
they just absolutely bent the players over and spanked them. Spanked them. Money-wise. And so then the players said, well, how about we practice less? And I was like, okay, fine, practice less. This is partly why the sport sucks, because they don't tackle anymore in the preseason. There's limited padded practices during the year. Training camp has been totally neutered, and that was the trade-off. The owners were willing to trade working conditions, if you will.
Quality of the product.
The quality of the product for money. Thank you, Mass. Bottom line, the owners were willing to sacrifice quality of product for money. Period. Because that's what it's done. That was the trade-off. For the players to accept those financial terms, they got less practice time. And thus, the product is what it is. Do the owners care? Hardly.
No, because they knew they could water it down, and people like us would still drink it up because we love it.
Okay, so Brady walks away from his EEI interview this morning when they ask him about Guerrero. Your thoughts on that?
So, I just think it's, and I know you're going to touch on this part of it, so I'll make it quick. Like, he doesn't know these questions are coming. Guerrero gets on the plane. It gets reported all over the place. Guerrero's back. It feels like the thing's resolved. He does his weekly Monday morning call, and he's surprised that people are asking. Just like he was surprised that people were asking about the Edelman and Guerrero connection during training camp. Again, what's he, a two-year-old?
My favorite on-field athlete ever. More unlikable and weird by the day off the field. And this was just such a bad look. Like, have a ready-made lie, or just say no comment. You gotta hang up like a baby. Ugh. Bad look, Tom.
And he makes it so much worse, I think. He makes it so much worse because if you watch, like, ESPN and the national stuff, this is how it's portrayed, because the national folks don't follow the stories closely as we do. They don't know. They just see it from the outside. And from the outside, this is the headline. Brady again refuses to answer questions about the trainer. That's a headline. Brady again refuses to talk about trainer. It's like, well, why? What are you hiding? You know, it makes him look like he's hiding something. Makes it look like Guerrero's toxic and he can't talk about the trainer. It's like Barry Bonds being asked about Victor Conte or Greg Anderson. I'm not going to talk about that. It's like covering your face so they don't take your picture. I'm not going to answer the question because it's too hot. It's like
you allow Deadspin to write this title to the article. Tom Brady hangs up on radio interview after questions about his shady trainer.
Right. So that's what, like, by Tom doing that. And I don't blame the national people for doing this, because again, they don't follow the ins and outs of the story. All they know is that that Brady's trainer has a shady past, and Tom refuses to talk about him. Like, well, why? How come you're refusing to talk about your trainer? Are you hiding something? Like, that's the way it's portrayed, and that's the way it looks. And then there's just 4 million things he could say that would, if not, you know, quote unquote, answer the question, at least satisfy the back and forth of the interview, and would be left alone. You say, yeah, it was great to have Alex there. He was very important to me, and he has been very important to me, and I'm glad that he's with me, and I'm just here to talk about football, and I'm not going to get into anything that went on behind the scenes, but he was there, and it was great to have him. He's an important guy for me. I mean, like, if you just do that...
Piece of cake.
It's pretty much over, I think.
Right, you acknowledge that there was a change. You don't say anything about how you got there.
I mean, you don't even have to acknowledge a change. Guys, I'm not going to get into the back and forth of what we do internally, but...
Right, yes, he was there. That's acknowledging the change, though, right?
I guess, yes. But he was there, and he's important to me.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, but the fact that he won't even do that...
Tells you how sensitive this whole topic has been.
Or Brady's getting bad advice, or what? Like, it's bizarre, man. It's really, there's a way to answer with a non-answer. Like, I thought all you guys did. That's just the easiest thing to do in the world.
I mean, you said this, I think, last year. I'm still really starting to wonder whether this guy has a clue. I mean, it's terrible for me to say that. Like, I don't know Brady from a hole in the wall. But you really do. You look at him sometimes. Do you have a clue? Like, you went into business with this guy in the first place, which makes me question it enough as it is. That's number one. Then, the whole Deflategate thing. Are you guilty? I don't believe so. What the hell does that mean? Then you get asked about this guy with Edelman, the Edelman suspension at the beginning of camp. You storm off like a three-year-old. And then this interview pops up and you hang up. Like, I'm really starting to wonder whether he has a sniff at all.
So one of our emailers, Vin in Burlington, writes and says, Felger keeps saying Brady needs some media coaching. Well, hasn't Brady always been reasonably savvy at dealing with the media? Saying nothing but doing it with a smile and respect, that's what he's been. This is such a complete 180 to his normal approach to the media. Either he's simply at the end of the road and truly doesn't want to deal with it anymore, or he knows he's hitched his wagon to the wrong guy and knows something potentially damning is coming down the pike. This kind of reaction is how liars react.
maybe liars is strong. Call it people with something to hide. And I agree, that's how it's portrayed. Brady refuses to talk about Traynor. What about the Traynor? Oh, that's right. He was fined twice by the FTC for false advertising claims. One of his other prominent clients just got popped for PEDs, and Tom won't answer questions about him. It's like, it just looks bad. And it just, that's how it's being portrayed. Brady refuses to answer questions about Shady Traynor. I mean, that headline sums it up perfectly. Or if he just answers questions with non-answers, the usual pablum that all these guys give you, it's not over, but it's over for him in the context of that. You're not getting this sort of second cycle of news off of it.
No, it's brutal. I mean, again, it's brutal. I think he just ends up fueling the thing even more on some level. And the other thing is, I think he looks bad on top of it. Like, and for someone who's as image conscious as he is, to all of a sudden say, I don't care about it, I don't think that's right either. Like, I think there's something more to it than that. I don't know why he's all of a sudden gotten so, you know, I don't know, uncooperative is not the right word, defensive about it, when he could just deflect.
But, I mean, how hard is it? He's got all off season. He's got to know the questions are coming. Just have a stock Alex Guerrero answer ready to go. That if you need to be coached or told or go over it, the talking points, then fine, do it. But you're going to be asked the first day of training camp, you're going to be asked when Alex is back on the plane and we can all see it, you're going to be asked about Alex a handful of times this year. So just have it ready to go and do it with a smile on your face and done. And it blows me away that he hasn't done that.
Agreed.
So there we are on that. Okay, so I think we've gotten it all on the table. The Red Sox from the weekend, are you concerned? The Patriots from the weekend, are you concerned? The Palace Q to your phones, I promise. A couple open lines at 617-779-0985. We'll grab you right after Murray's update.
Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots running back Sony Michel and offensive tackle Marcus Cannon returning to practice today. Cannon and Michel have not been seen in uniform since leaving practice early on August 1st. Cannon's ailment has been undisclosed, while rookie Sony Michel had his knee drained. There were also three new players at the full pad session today. Wide receiver K.J. May, running back Kenneth Farrow, and running back Hilfani Muhammad. The team also officially announced the releases of wide receiver Eric Decker, who announced his retirement yesterday on Instagram, and veteran safety Eddie Pleasant. Patriots will be playing their fourth and final preseason game Thursday night against the New York Giants. In other Patriots news, Shaq Mason, he's getting paid. The team has signed a 24-year-old guard to a five-year contract extension worth up to $50 million and reportedly includes $23.5 million guaranteed. More NFL news, Odell Beckham Jr. agreeing to a five-year extension with the New York Giants that will make him the highest-paid wide receiver in football. The extension worth $90 million over 5 years. It also has $65 million guaranteed against injury and $41 million that is fully guaranteed. Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver Marquise Lee going to miss the upcoming season because of a knee injury he suffered on Saturday night. Manu Ginobili has announced his retirement after 16 NBA seasons. And the Red Sox swept by the Rays over the weekend, back home for a two-game set against the Miami Marlins that starts tomorrow night. Brian Johnson will face Jose Urania in Game 1. David Price goes up against Trevor Richards on Wednesday. Headlines are brought to you by Bridgewater State University, with bachelor's degree completion programs offered part-time at night and online, and 60-plus graduate programs. Bridgewater State University can get your education back on track. So visit bridgew.edu. That's bridgew.edu. Fall classes start on September 5th. I'm Jim Murray for Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 Sports Hub. Next update at 4.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tom, when Julian tested positive, a lot of people connected it to Alex Guerrero. Just what's your reaction to that? Do you think it's fair?
I have no comments. Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Tom,
I'm out.
See you guys.
I just can't believe he wasn't better prepared for this stuff. All right, so that's on the board. Everything else as well here on a reentry Monday on Felger and Mass. Don in Norwell on the Patriots. What do you got, Don?
Hi, Mike. I have a possible answer to why Brady is acting the way he is vis-a-vis Belichick. You got to look back in history at Bart Starr and Vince Lombardi. Bart is the only quarterback in NFL history to win three consecutive league championships, 65, 66, and 67. And is the only quarterback with Tom Brady to win five NFL championships. Vince Lombardi, interestingly enough, is the same as Brady and Belichick with five NFL championships.
Okay, so Don, what did...
question is, mm-hmm. We all know whose name is on the Super Bowl trophy, and therefore is more famous. You don't remember Bart Starr as much as Vince Lombardi. Therefore, maybe Brady wants to be does not want to be second to Belichick in history.
So I think it's part of it. I thought you were going that Lombardi busted Starr's, you know, balls down the stretch, and I've read you know a bunch on that Packers team, and I don't, you know, Lombardi was hard on everybody. He was exceptionally hard on Starr to start his career. At the end, I don't know. It feels like this thing with Belichick and Brady is really at the tail end here. But is it a, you know, Curran said this to me on TV last night, that Bill's issue with Guerrero isn't necessarily Guerrero singularly. It's Bill's taking it out on Guerrero because it's him and Brady. And there is this thing, you know, Brady, again, as Leibovich said in this book, Brady feels he's earned more deference at this stage of his career after all that he's done and all the work that he's put in. He deserves better treatment from Brady, from Belichick. And, you know, fed up himself with the Belichick culture and has told friends, teammates, and relatives that he has earned more deference and gratitude than what he gets from the Patriots coach. And so Brady has started to act that way, and Belichick's response is to start messing with the trainer.
Squeeze harder.
So that it's not necessarily what Guerrero's doing, it's just Bill's way of getting at Brady through the trainer.
Maybe. Yeah, I still think the whole, you know, if guys on the team and were, you know, disregarding the medical staff because of things Guerrero was telling them, that's a problem.
No question, it's a problem.
That's a major problem. Well, now,
Curran said that that's been going on, though, for a while, though.
Just going to say, if that's amplified, then, you know.
Guerrero has a different philosophy than most doctors, and certainly the Patriots team doctors in a lot of cases, and they've been, I don't know, at odds, or, you know, Guerrero has preached a different philosophy for years, so they've sort of bumped up against this. This is according to Curran. For years, that's nothing new. It's recently that Bill's decided to make an issue of it. And I say recently, in the last couple of years, because he and Brady are in this thing. And that's, so this is Curran's, again, this is Curran, not me, saying this. So it's really more about Belichick taking it out on Guerrero, because his issue is really with Brady. And so,
okay, but there had to be a tipping point somewhere, right? And to me, it's Gronk. I'd be willing to bet that once Gronk all of a sudden stopped wanting to do things a certain way, and Bill's looking at him saying, now, wait a minute. It's okay for a quarterback to not necessarily be built like a lineman, but I'm going to have a tight end that wants to be built like a slot receiver or an outside guy. Like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm wondering if Gronk was the tipping point that forced Belichick to say, enough, we're not doing this anymore.
Paul in Canton has a Red Sox thought for us. Hi, Paul.
The Red Sox are a mirage, okay? From a distance, you can't see them. If you look close, you can see they have no bullpen, no starting pitching. The hitting, even if it makes it to the playoffs, is going to choke. Sale, Price is a loser. You know that. Kimbrel, their closer, another loser, choke artist. They're not even going to make it to the playoffs. Not even the one-game playoff. That's my prediction. Write it.
Okay, Paul. A little strong. Strong to quite strong. I haven't even bothered to look at their wild card lead.
Oh, God, please. I mean, it's got to be like 12 or something. They're already in, for crying out loud.
The Yankees are 9 games clear of the wild card.
Something like that.
And the Red Sox are 5 games on top of the Yankees.
Yeah, that's it. It's not even worth engaging on that
topic. But, however, mirage, asterisk, etc., that sort of thing.
No, they're in a slump. It happens in a course of 162-game season. It was bound to happen where they were going to look like every other team in Major League Baseball. That's all that's happening right now. You think Mookie Betts is not going to hit, like, whatever this slump he's in right now? Oh, Mookie can't hit now. It's going to translate to the playoffs. Stop it.
It took until August 26th for them to get swept in a series. August 26th? Are you kidding? So I'm not going to overreact to that. Now you want to add on top of it the fact that they lost 4 in a row for the first time last week. Then they went into another series and get swept.
Did they lose 4 in a row? No, they never lost 4 in a row.
Sure they did.
They were about to, and then they won the last 2 in Cleveland.
I thought that they lost 2 before Cleveland, then the first 2.
Oh, did they? Maybe they did.
But I'll double check. Maybe I'm wrong.
Either way, with this series, and I was one of these people that didn't give them enough credit, the Rays are better than you think. They're 8-11 against New York, 8-7 against New York this year, and 8-11 against the Red Sox. They're not that bad.
Okay. That being said,
I mean, they're in a rut. There's no question they're in a rut, but they're a good team.
The rut doesn't bother me. I am looking at the starting pitching, though, and saying, well, what do you have here? Eovaldi is totally crapped the bed since his first 2 games. Completely. Sale is hurt. And, again, Rick Porcello, nothing to write home about recently. He's got Rick Porcello is a 5.72 ERA in his last 8 outings. So now we're going back, you know, a month with this guy, over a 5.7 ERA. So, like, you sort of add all that up, and so, like, that's a new thing to me. That's new. And that would have me concerned more than just the losses and, you know, getting swept. Big deal.
Well, and that's the part that should concern you. I mean, if you want to start talking about, like, a guys are wearing down type of thing, then to me, I don't know how you fix that at this stage of the season. If that's what's going on, they're in trouble. You know, it is one of the things I worry about with Betts. He's not a big guy. You know, so is he the kind of guy, if you play him every day all season, is he going to wear down at the end of the year? I don't know. I mean, most little guys do.
So you have no problem. Unlike Nick Cafardo in the Globe, who was very critical of Cora for sending these guys out, you have no problem with Martinez and Benintendi sitting out yesterday.
I don't. No, I don't. I think he went into it and said, this is how we're going to do it. And all of a sudden they lose the first two in Tampa. And what's he supposed to say? Like, change everything because we lost two in Tampa?
Well, then that's a panic move, isn't it?
It is. I don't think they should panic yet. They were, you know, they've had a hell of a year. And regular season-wise, they've been off the charts. And they're still six up. It's not like the lead's two today. People are overreacting to this. Now, again, ask me in a week. Because they're home against Miami and then the White Sox. Like, if they lose four out of five to those teams, then,
okay.
then you should be worried. Then you should be alarmed.
All right. In the meantime, there's some concerning stuff from the Patriots, just in general, on both sides of the ball, really, Friday night in Carolina, especially on defense. We'll get to that in our long commercial-free segment next.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom, when Julian tested positive, a lot of people connected it to Alex Guerrero. Just what's your reaction to that? Do you think it's fair?
I have no comment. It's just ridiculous.
Tom,
I'm out.
See you guys.
I just can't believe it wasn't better prepared for this stuff. All right, so that's on the board. Everything else as well here on a reentry Monday on Felger and Mass. Don in Norwell on the Patriots. What do you got, Don?
Hi, Mike. I have a possible answer to why Brady is acting the way he is vis-a-vis Belichick. You got to look back in history at Bart Starr and Vince Lombardi. Bart is the only quarterback in NFL history to win three consecutive league championships, 65, 66, and 67. And is the only quarterback with Tom Brady to win five NFL championships. Vince Lombardi, interestingly enough, is the same as Brady and Belichick with five NFL championships.
Okay, so Don, what did...
question is, mm-hmm. We all know whose name is on the Super Bowl trophy, and therefore is more famous. You don't remember Bart Starr as much as Vince Lombardi. Therefore, maybe Brady wants to be... does not want to be second to Belichick in history.
So I think it's part of it. I thought you were going that Lombardi busted Starr's, you know, balls down the stretch. And I've read, you know, a bunch on that Packers team, and I don't, you know, Lombardi was hard on everybody. He was exceptionally hard on Starr to start his career. At the end, I don't know, though. I don't know. It feels like this thing with Belichick and Brady is really at the tail end here. But is it a, you know, Curran said this to me on TV last night, that Bill's issue with Guerrero isn't necessarily Guerrero singularly. It's Bill's taking it out on Guerrero because it's him and Brady. And there is this thing, you know, Brady, again, as Leibovich said in this book, Brady feels he's earned more deference at this stage of his career after all that he's done and all the work that he's put in. He deserves better treatment from Brady, from Belichick. And, you know, fed up himself with the Belichick culture and has told friends, teammates, and relatives that he has earned more deference and gratitude than what he gets from the Patriots coach. And so Brady has started to act that way, and Belichick's response is to start messing with the trainer.
Squeeze harder.
So that it's not necessarily what Guerrero's doing, it's just Bill's way of getting at Brady through the trainer.
Maybe. Yeah, I still think the whole, you know, if guys on the team and were, you know, disregarding the medical staff because of things Guerrero was telling them, that's a problem.
No question, it's a
problem. I mean, that's a major problem. Well, now,
Curran said that that's been going on, though, for a while, though.
Like, okay, I was just going to say, if that's amplified, then, you know.
You know, Guerrero has a different philosophy than most doctors, and certainly the Patriots team doctors in a lot of cases, and they've been, I don't know, at odds, or, you know, Guerrero has preached a different philosophy for years, so they've sort of bumped up against this. This is according to Curran. For years, that's nothing new. It's recently that Bill's decided to make an issue of it. And I say recently, in the last couple of years, because he and Brady are in this thing. And that's, so this is Kearns, again, this is Curran, not me, saying this. So it's really more about Belichick taking it out on Guerrero, because his issue is really with Brady. And so,
okay, but there had to be a tipping point somewhere, right? And to me, it's Gronk. I'd be willing to bet that once Gronk all of a sudden stopped wanting to do things a certain way, and Bill's looking at him saying, now, wait a minute. It's okay for a quarterback to not necessarily be built like a lineman, but I'm going to have a tight end that wants to be built like a slot receiver or an outside guy. Like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm wondering if Gronk was the tipping point that forced Belichick to say, enough, we're not doing this anymore.
Paul in Canton has a Red Sox thought for us. Hi, Paul.
The Red Sox are a mirage, okay? From a distance, you can't see them. If you look close, you can see they have no bullpen, no starting pitching. They're hitting, even if they make it to the playoffs, it's going to choke. Sale, Price is a loser, you know that. Kimbrel, they're a closer, another loser, choke artist. They're not even going to make it to the playoffs, not even the one-game playoff. That's my prediction, write it.
Okay, Paul, a little strong to quite strong. I haven't even bothered to look at their wild card lead.
Oh, God, please. I mean, it's got to be like 12 okay, or something. So they're already in, for crying
Stop.
Out loud.
The Yankees are 9 games clear of the wild card.
Something like that.
And the Red Sox are 5 games on top of the Yankees.
Yeah, that's it. It's not even worth okay. engaging on that
but,
topic.
However, mirage, asterisk, etc., that sort of thing.
No, they're in a slump. It happens in a course of 162-game season. It was bound to happen where they were going to look like every other team in Major League Baseball. That's all that's happening right now. You think Mookie Betts is not going to hit? Like, whatever this slump he's in right now, oh, Mookie can't hit now. It's going to translate to the playoffs. Stop it.
It well, took until August 26th for them to get swept in a series. August 26th? Are you kidding? So I'm not going to overreact to that. Now, you want to add on top of it the fact that they lost 4 in a row for the first time last week. Then they went into another series and got swept.
Did they lose 4 in a row? No, they never lost 4 in a row.
Sure they did.
They were about to, and then they won the last 2 in Cleveland.
I thought that they lost 2 before Cleveland, then the first 2.
Oh, did they? Maybe they did. Maybe
but I'll double check. Maybe I'm wrong.
Either way, with this series, and I was one of these people that didn't give them enough credit, the Rays are better than you think. They're 8-11 against New York, 8-7 against New York this year, and 8-11 against the Red Sox. They're not that bad.
Okay. That being said,
I mean, they're in a rut. There's no question they're in a rut, but they're a good team.
The rut doesn't bother me. I am looking at the starting pitching, though, and saying, well, what do you have here? Eovaldi is totally crap the bed since his first 2 games. Completely. Sale is hurt. And again, Rick Porcello, nothing to write home about recently. He's got Rick Porcello is a 5.72 ERA in his last 8 outings. So now we're going back, you know, over a month with this guy, over a 5.7 ERA. So like you sort of add all that up. And so like that's a new thing to me. That's new. And that would have me concerned more than just the losses and, you know, getting swept. Big deal.
Well, and that's the part that should concern you. I mean, if you want to start talking about like a guys are wearing down type of thing, then to me, I don't know how you fix that at this stage of the season. If that's what's going on, they're in trouble. You know, it is one of the things I worry about with Betts. He's not a big guy. You know, so is he the kind of guy, if you play him every day all season, is he going to wear down at the end of the year? I don't know. I mean, most little guys do.
So you have no problem, unlike Nick Cafardo in the Globe, who was very critical of Cora for sending these guys out. You have no problem with Martinez and Benintendi sitting out yesterday.
I don't. No, I don't. I think he went into it and said, this is how we're going to do it. And all of a sudden they lose the first 2 in Tampa. And what's he supposed to say? Like, change everything because we lost 2 in Tampa?
Well, then that's a panic move, isn't it?
It is. I don't think they should panic yet. They were, you know, they've had a hell of a year. And regular season-wise, they've been off the charts. And they're still 6 up. It's not like the lead's 2 today. People are overreacting to this. Now, again, ask me in a week. Because they're home against Miami and then the White Sox. Like, if they lose 4 out of 5 to those teams, then you should be alarmed.
All right. In the meantime, there's some concerning stuff from the Patriots just in general on both sides of the ball, really, Friday night in Carolina, especially on defense. We'll get to that in our long commercial-free cycle.